Live from the balcony at the Royal George Theatre is tonight's performance of The Bible, the Complete Word of God, abridged in the reduced Shakespeare Company. Brad Harbaugh, Tim Schindelman, Kiff Van Den Heuvel. Aren't these the guys? These are the guys we're going to see tonight.
I thought we were the guys.
No, they're the guys. You know what, Reed? Tonight, they're the guys.
Hi, I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 47, Play by Play, Part 1.
It's a beautiful Friday night. A little chilly, wind coming out of the west, about 30 degrees. It's probably going to have some people come to the theater late for some latecomers, but other than that...
How do you think that wind is going to affect the performance?
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up. I know that this is an older building, and you can feel the draft. And when they open up the show in the Figsleys, there could be some...
That will not be pretty.
That will not be pretty at all.
These guys stepped right up to the majors quick. They were drafted only 2 months ago, and here they are in the show.
That's right.
And what have we told them? We've given them a couple of secrets. Don't know your lines? Doesn't matter. Keep moving. Say what lines you do know fast and pick up your cues.
Yes, the audience doesn't know you don't know your lines. For all they know, the song could be blah, 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 blah. Yeah, that could be the song. Heck, we didn't tell them any different.
We've written several songs like that.
That's right. You know, picking up your cues and saying what lines you do know really, really fast will cover up a multitude of both acting errors and sins in the writing.
Yes, keep up the pace, say it loud, have energy, smile. We've made a career of that.
Don't look at your feet.
I don't know if we've properly introduced ourselves. It's Matt Reed and Austin, and we'll be doing a play-by-play for tonight's performance. And this injury report is brought by The Complete History of America on DVD. That's right. 90 minutes in 200 years or something like 200 years.
That's right.
Years.
We were plagued by injuries here in Chicago. I spent a night in the emergency room that first preview week with food poisoning.
Yeah, we went to this restaurant two doors down. We won't say the name of it, but Austin definitely got sick from it, and
God.
We think Brad Baldoff, our producer, got sick from it, too. So Austin was in the emergency room at Northwestern Hospital.
And I can't say enough. I want to give a shout-out to my boys and girls there at Northwestern Hospital emergency room downtown.
And in fact, the Radio Shakespeare Company liked that emergency room so much that a few days later, Jenny Schwaner, who is one of our backstage people, got hit by a car crossing the street.
In Chicago.
And ended up in that same emergency room. Fortunately, both she and Austin are fine, but yay.
Oh, it's not been... Yeah, Chicago's treated us pretty rough.
Yeah,
now I know what the Packers feel like when they come here to play.
It's rough, and luckily Tim Schoeneman, when we were joking around, he ran across the street. He almost got hit by a car, which really scared us. But the injury report today, I think Tim's walked with a little bit of a limp I saw backstage, so he might be a little...
He's got a limp. Here's a little inside scoop.
Yeah, I know why he's that limp.
In the Hollywood show, he plays the cowboy in the second act, and he's got these new cowboy boots, and he didn't put on his moleskin, and he's paying the price.
And I think we're going to see a little bit limping from Kiff Van Den Heuvel tonight, who's been complaining about his biblical sandals.
Well, I heard him calling home asking for a special delivery to bring his personal Tevas down to the theater before 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Well, looking at the official Vegas book, the over-under of the first act is about 45 minutes. I'm saying with a little bit of a bigger crowd and maybe the limping, I'm taking the over on that. I think it's probably going 47. 48 minutes first act.
That was Maddie the Greek. So we'll see how it goes. The LPMs is a very interesting phenomenon here in Chicago. That, of course, is laughs per minute. We've had a relatively small crowd, and the LPM ratio has been low.
Yeah, no, it's hard to laugh when there's only 12 people in the audience.
Well, you're just the poor audience. It's like...
They know there's nobody there.
Yeah, it's just like... It's hard
no
not...
No secret.
I always have to remind myself, don't be mad at the people who are here. Be mad at the people who are not here. But, you know, you're working your butt off, and these 30 people are trying to give you some energy, but you know, when you have less than a 10% house, ow.
We're about 10 minutes to game time, and actually though, it's filling up a bit. I think it's going to break 100 people.
I think this audience is going to be well into the three figures. It's a Friday night here in Chicago. What would you say is the story of tonight's performance?
Story of tonight's performance, definitely, without a doubt, 100% Kiff Van Den Heuvel's first Bible performance here in Chicago.
That's right. But not his first performance with an RSC show. He did Hollywood 2 nights ago. I thought he stepped up pretty well. Do you think he can carry any of that experience into tonight's performance?
Well, that's always a question with a rookie. Can they be consistent? Can they be consistent from show to show, night to night? You know, we've been at this a long time. You know, you keep a nice even keel over the course of a season. And so it's going to be a big test for Van Den Heuvel.
Will Kiff... come out strong for his second performance, or will he pull a Michael Faulkner and completely just tank his second performance.
I'd forgotten that. What's the story there?
Well, the story there is that Michael Faulkner did his first performance of the Shakespeare show at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., and did such a blazingly brilliant first performance. It was like he had been performing that show with us for years and years and years, and that was great. It was a Friday night. Next day, he had a Saturday afternoon matinee, and it was like he'd never even looked at the script. And I wrote so many notes in the first 30 seconds, I finally stopped because he went, okay, it's a second show letdown. So that's the tonight's story, is will Kif Van Den Heuvel have that second performance letdown?
Well, it's so fun to go on stage with somebody who's doing the show for the first time, because we joke around, they're standing on stage with you, but they come to a moment and you can see in their eyes, they've just walked off the stage, down the stairs, into the dressing room, picked up the script, flipped through the pages, see what their next word is, and they come back. All that without leaving the stage. So that's that's always fun to see in someone's eyes.
That's right.
Well, really, the other storyline here is spring training's over. I mean, they had that's a first show Tuesday, Wednesday. This is their second show. It's a bigger Friday night crowd. So let's see how the boys come out for opening night here.
You know, the question that the commissioner is having is, you know, Kif is looking, his head is bigger, you know? He's got a lot more power. He's clearly more muscled than he was a few days ago.
Yeah.
Is he using performance-enhancing drugs?
Is Kif Van Den Heuvel juiced? That's the question.
That's it.
And I saw Brad eating some peanuts. Is that a supplement? Does he
have an allergy to peanuts?
I guess we'll find out. It comes out bloated. It comes out slow. If it comes out groggy, we're going to have to keep an eye on the youngster.
They got to come out strong, though, tonight. I mean, I think that's the key to my key to victories. I got three key to victories. They got to come out strong, they got to come out loud, and they have to engage the audience early. So I think the in-the-beginning blues is going to be a good indication. As long as they know their lines, their confidence will be higher, and they can relax more into the role, and they'll be stronger and more effective.
Well, now, here's the thing about the in-the-beginning blues. Is that this group of actors in Chicago, they don't play, they're talented, extremely talented, but they don't play any musical instruments. So
much like ourselves.
Yes, but we play just enough. We're trying to get this last comments in before the show starts. We play just enough to be able to fake our way on a keyboard, on an accordion, and in Matthew's case, the harmonica, and cymbals, the Laurie Partridge tambourine that you play.
I always think of it as the Davy Jones tambourine.
But these guys, bless their pea-picking little hearts, don't play any instruments at all. So we have hired John Weber, who's created backing tracks. They called a major audible, and we said, you know what, John, get in here. We need your help. And so he set up backing tracks for the blues, Begatten, and Elijah. It's not a completely stylistic diversion for us, because we've always sung That's Armageddon to a backing track.
True.
So in that case, you know, it's making a unified whole, stylistic, Aristotelian unified whole to the evening, musically.
So there's a palpable buzz here in the room, so sit back, relax, and enjoy the first ever live play-by-play commentary of a reduced Shakespeare Company performance.
And you can hear the audience tuning, the orchestra's tuning up right now. The orchestra tuning up, the lights are going down, the orchestra's tuning up, and we are just about ready to begin.
The first key here is going to be the belly laugh, which is the three fig leaves. That's where the spotlight comes out. It's going to be Tim in a fig leaf, and then he's going to release his belly, and we're going to wait to see what kind of audience is.
That's right.
Just beside us has sat Carl Hamilton as a cast of four here in Chicago. He's not on stage tonight, so he can set up here and laugh at the mistakes along with us.
It'll be great. Carl, say hello.
Hello. In the beginning, there was chaos.
I thought I sounded very good in that opening announcement.
You're very consistent.
Thank you. I hope the microphone picked that up. We're way up in the balcony, but that was a good laugh.
It was a decent laugh for a crowd this size, no doubt about it.
That's right.
The trick is, can Brad Harbaugh follow this up and go back-to-back laughs with his belly thing? Let's watch.
All right, that's fine. Here we go. Here he comes.
An even better laugh. This bodes well.
The buzz is getting buzzier now, but here we know. Now we'll finally find out whether Kif has been juicing when we see the size of his fig leaf.
The first penis joke of the night.
But not the last.
Audience was stunned a little bit there. I have to say, I think I'm not sure he stuck that laugh.
No, he seemed a little unsure of focus.
Keep it wide and long enough. Keep it wide and long enough. I'm going to go look over the rail and count the number of audience members. I'll be right back.
From the top of his hallowed head to the soles of his holy shoes, he had a serious case of the in-the-beginning blues. On Wednesday, he made vegetables. On Thursday, celestial light. On Friday, he made...
Kiff's got a really authentic blues voice, which is really terrific in this number.
Well, and they've been doing two-a-days for the last couple of days. They've been doing full shows, run through shows all the way through, and then full rehearsals all the way through, and then shows. So Kiff just blows out his voice every time, but yet he's got that nice, gritty voice. Oh, Tim's off one step.
Oh, yeah, Tim's off on the steps now. If that's not good, he's stepping to the left while the other guys are stepping to the right. But you know what? I'm going to give props up to Tim. He got that list of animals. He nailed that list of animals.
And look what he did. He figured out he was doing it wrong. He just stopped dancing, did his own thing, and then continued right instead.
That's right. He's back on track. Let's listen.
Hold on. Give him to me. Morphine and penicillin and marijuana. You got the right one, baby.
Seventh day.
On the seventh day, God bless you.
Some excellent microphone choreography there from Tim Schuneman, but he got the steps wrong again.
And it happens. The audience count is 92.
92. We haven't broken three figures.
Okay.
And Big Finish.
He had a serious case of those earth without form, void and nothingness, darkness and emptiness in the beginning blue.
I'm Dave Rosaski, Artistic Director of the Second City LA, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company's podcast.
Tim Schuneman just called an amazing audible there during the thing. Some guy yelled out something about being an Episcopalian, and Tim Schuneman said, "Hey, we're not Baptists here. Just don't shout stuff out."
He's definitely considered the lead in the Rook of the Year race at this point.
Yes, he is.
Well, his background is improv, so yeah, that's right in his wheelhouse.
That's the same thing you get me every year.
Right, we're in the Cain and Abel scene. And, you know, one of the things we worried about with Tim was his voice, whether people okay. could be heard or not. We can totally hear Tim tonight, and he's doing very, very well. But somehow they've lost some of the energy going into the Cain and Abel scene, don't you think?
I do. I think, for Tim, it's going to be a matter of stamina. I mean, he's got it, but can he keep the stamina up and going? He's got to build a little callus. And now, I think they're feeling confident with the lines, but they're losing a little sense of urgency, and they've got to put the lines and the urgency, and they'll get it together. They're close, but they're just...
And they drive and drive through it. But his volume has been terrific.
Well, and they're getting the biggest part of this is the likability factor, and the audience definitely seems to like them. So the likability
factor. I'm aware that there's a lot of people talking during the show. Oh, wait a minute, that's you guys.
So we're heading up to the Begatten number, which I normally play on the piano, but we had to create a backing track for Tim here. So he has to get into this out of nothing. Let's see how he does.
Well, the key is at the end is going to be the applause, because it's more entertaining than funny. So if he can get a big applause on his thing, that's going to be a good bit.
They were begatting, making babies happen, cause back then there was nothing else to do. No, begatting, everywhere begatting, cause back then there was nothing else to do.
Big Jolson finish there for begatting, which I really like.
That was a good close, a good close.
It is a good close.
The Ark. Noah's Ark, the most famous ark.
Now, this is Kiff's really first piece by himself where he gets established a character. So we're going to watch and see how he handles the ark.
This is the first introduction of the Noah's Ark running gag.
I think a note we're going to give Kiff. He's very good. He's very likable. He's just got to trust it and slow down a little bit. When he slows down and delivers, he's very good. But he has a tendency because he's high energy, but he tends to rush through some things. And if we can slow him down, he'll be great.
But he's got that first show puppy energy.
Yeah. oh, it's very contagious. It's great. That's why I want him to slow down, because you want to hear what he says. He's very... He's, yeah, puppy, that's great. Or,
go down and hit him on the nose with a newspaper.
But you wouldn't understand.
Give him the foreskin from your penis.
This has been a tough scene. The Abraham scene has been a tough scene here in Chicago. What is it about Chicago audiences are scared to laugh about penises and foreskins?
Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe it's the land of Lincoln and they're just afraid. I don't know.
Usually this scene goes for like an extra minute through rolling laughs of people getting the jokes late and discomfort. But Glad's audience is better for sure, though.
We're playing in their home court. We're in their home field, and we have a home field disadvantage.
Yeah, that's what it is.
We're coming up to Ten Commandments now. This is all kind of like,
show us the Ten Commandments. There you go.
Now, Tim carried out the Ten Commandments, but holding them close to his chest, we didn't know what the hell he was carrying.
But he doesn't have to rush in. That's one entrance where he doesn't have to rush in, right? He can be stately, and we've told him to rush in, so he was doing that.
Yes, that's true. Yes.
Kiff just had a 15-yard penalty for paraphrasing. An introduction to the walls of Jericho. He said all the words, but in no order that made any sense at all.
Coming up on a part of a show where there's a lot of physical stuff going on, so there's a lot of running in the next 15 minutes. So can they sustain the energy? Can they sustain the stamina?
This isn't suffering. Who can show me real suffering? Swallowed by a whale going once.
And here comes a big local reference.
I will go to the Taste of Chicago and eat the hummus. So, the textbook definition of suffering.
That's good. A very solid performance.
I'll tell you what. Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness.
So in a great writing contrast style, we have this very slow section of Psalms and Proverbs, which is great because that's a very frenetic wrestling scene. We now slow down. The problem is for the actors, we just ran all over the place and dove on the stage, and now we have to speak in a very calm manner. So this is when you're like, and then the lights come on, and you're like, it's Psalms.
Kiff got a good solid laugh on his second of the Noah's Ark appearances. It's a good crowd. Reed was just commenting that the phantom laugh when I nod at the wisdom of one of the proverbs that returned. So many of the laughs are dependent on the size of the audience. What they call it critical mass. The audience has to achieve a big enough size where they all feel comfortable to laugh. It's kind of smart, subtle things.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
I'm watching the film and I'm taking notice. Apparently, maybe opening the Bible and looking through it draws focus from what I'm saying. So he showed his stillness, delivered the lines. Game film helpful.
Let's go to the podcast. That's why we're up here watching and learning.
Yes.
See, this is another thing where a bigger audience helps. The bigger audience really understands the bewitched theory of the alternate God, Old Testament God, New Testament God theory.
Yes, it means there's enough old farts in the crowd to get that ancient reference.
Right, a 40-year-old reference. Dick Yark and Dick Sargent.
We're about to go into the Elijah song. There were some problems with the timing, singing it to the track just before the show when they were running it, so this is going to tell the story tonight.
That's right. They've got to stick with the... So far, so good. They picked up the timing very well.
If you had lots of lepers, Elisha made them better. If you had phony prophets, Elijah made them better.
Esther, Amos,
great, and Andy.
Yes!
There's a 50 or 60-year-old reference, Amos and Andy. But they got the timing really well so far.
And a bucket of crap.
A bucket!
You know, that might be the key here. We always say a person and bucket of crap, and that might be a little too harsh. I think if we keep it like the CTA or traffic, that's a little more laughable.
They nailed it. They nailed it. They nailed it. Good job. End of Act One. What do you think so far? How do you think? It's too bad we can't get down onto the field and talk to the boys and see how they feel about it.
You know, up here in the press box, you're a long distance from the crowd. It sounds like strong laughter up here, but I bet it's even stronger down there.
I'd
give it a solid B plus.
Carl Hamilton, what did you think of that first act? Much kind of nicer than your first act
in the
Bible.
Incredibly, incredibly jealous of this lovely crowd and the great job that they are doing. I'm totally jealous.
That's right. But you know what? We're all seasoned veterans that we are. We're all up here in the balcony learning some things
right.
today.
That's right. Yeah.
And John Weber, welcome back to Chicago. Welcome back to Chicago. That sounded pretty good. Them singing to the backing track, didn't it?
Fantastic. You guys, man, you taught them well. I like the choreography. I wish I could see it on the podcast, but it's like a three-man weave in the basketball. I remember. Yeah.
It looks like some of the plays we drew up when we were part of the avant-garde's football team at Cal.
Yes. Yes. In baseball season, we were the comedy of errors.
I think, you know what? I think we're, that was the first act. I think we might have to finish the second act play-by-play in next week's podcast.
That's a tease.
Wait, does that mean they have to wait a week before they do the second act? How does that work?
No, Matt, it's...
We'll record it.
They're going to wait a week.
I can't stay here a week.
No, we're going to wait. We're going to meet right here.
No, definitely in a week. Austin and I fly home to California tomorrow.
No, we'll be back.
I can't deny that guy.
We'll be back. We'll see you all in a week.
Carl, would you have a word with Matt? We'll be back.
Hey, can I sleep up there?
Will Kip's voice hold out? Will Tim's feet hold out? Will we get kicked out of the balcony for talking too loud? Will anybody care that this is the first RSE Cliffhanger podcast? Tune in next week and see how it all turns out. That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us an email with questions or feedback to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com or leave us a voice message on the podcast page of our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Also, make us your MySpace friend. Check out our MySpace page at myspace.com/reducedshakespeare. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, ripsite.co.uk, starting point guard Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Samalama Ding Dong. No reason, it's just random. And special thanks to Dave Rozowski. Thanks for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 33/99 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.